All right. Welcome, everybody, to today's session, introducing the future of enterprise social, Office Graph, and Codename Oslo. My name is Cem Aykan. I'm from the SharePoint product marketing team. And today, I have the pleasure to be presenting with Christoph.
Christoph Eisinger. I'm on the enterprise social marketing team based in, we're both based in sunny Redmond, in Building 1, to be precise.
Sunny. Yes, it is.
So the topic for today, basically, here's the agenda. The first thing we're going to talk about, and I know Jeff on the RF talked about it during the keynote, but it's this notion of working like a network. And you'll see why this is important on some of those concepts. We are the foundation for some of the roadmap where we're heading from a product perspective. Then the bulk of this presentation is going to be talking about the roadmap on how we're enabling companies to work as a network. What are we doing across the stack? And rest assured, yes, we'll be doing a product demonstration. And then after that, we'll switch gear, and I'll talk about something that's key here, is that, well, it's extremely important to talk about the technology on. Again, we'll spend the bulk of it, but it's very important to be successful to see the companies, how they went about going about that social journey. And that's what we mean by the journey, and we've got a couple recipe and starting point to go about working in the open on some of those concepts that were talked at during the keynote. And then last but not least, Cem is going to take this to the finish line and give you additional content. You know, we're only here for 75 minutes, and it's good to see the appetite already by just showing up here in this session, but additional things that you can read, consume, watch when you go back in the office.
Absolutely. And one other thing I'd like to add is we actually have a Yammer group for this session. So throughout our session, throughout the demos, discussions we might be having, if you have any questions, feel free to post your questions there. At the end of the session, I'll read through them. I'll try to answer the most important ones. And if you catch this session later throughout the week, and if you watched our deck, and if you're a video and you have other questions, that's a great way for you to interact with us. We'll be always on Yammer. We'll always be online. And we'll try to answer as much as we can. So that's a really great way to get that discussion started.
Great. So before I start, two questions. How many of you are using Office 365 today? Well, that's quite a bit.
Yeah, that's
very impressive. And the next question, how many of you are using Yammer today at work? Wow, that's very impressive. About, let's say, a third of the audience?
I think our job is done. Let's just go.
Okay. So hopefully there will be something for everyone. And let's get started. So actually, again, this first section is about work like a network. Now, before I start, what I'll do is I'll show a video. So let me just switch here.
Today, people are more connected than ever before, through social networks, through the cloud, through mobile devices. The world has become a giant network.
Thanks, guys.
And every second, people are sharing.
We'll try it again. And we'll bring that over to the screen. Very hard to do.
Learning and making decisions on the go. They're all part of one hyper-connected world. These are your customers. They expect faster responses, personalized service, better experiences. As a business, you have to always be listening to your customers. Anticipate trends. Take action. And adapt quickly, no matter what comes your way, so you can always stay one step ahead. You need the latest information at your fingertips to make fully informed decisions. And as a business, you can give your customers exactly what they want, when they want it. So they walk away with experiences as unique as they are. What if you were connected to everything important? What if you and every person in your company could work together like a network? Suddenly, you're plugged into everything that matters to your business. You're social and collaborating in new ways. Exchanging ideas with people across the globe. You're always listening to your employees, customers, and partners. You spot new opportunities to adapt quickly and make change happen. you share documents and information in real time and make decisions faster than ever. When you're working together as one connected network, you can grow your business. You understand your customers, you build better products, and you deliver the best experiences. This is the power of a network. Now's the time to start working like one.
Great. So to summarize this video, I apologize for the start there. And by the way, this video is available on YouTube, and we've also posted the link in the Yammer network for this group. But basically, the idea is something we've experienced in our personal life for many years. We probably stay in touch with loved ones or friends using Facebook. We probably update our resume on LinkedIn and hopefully look for the next job opportunity if we're looking for a new opportunity. We're probably here traveling to Mech and probably staying in touch with loved ones, maybe using Skype. Maybe I've seen some of you are tweeting about some of the feedback you get about the keynote. So the idea is, in our personal life, we're connected, whether it's loosely coupled or structured, in all those networks. And the idea is, in the enterprise, things haven't really changed over the past decade. You know, we still have siloed apps to get work done. And the idea is, from a product perspective, is how do we take some of those concepts that we experience in our personal life and bring that into the enterprise? And you might be wondering, you know, Christoph, why is this so important? Well, it's actually very important because this day and age, there's some massive disruptions happening across industries. Things like Netflix, things like Amazon's, and you know, you can go on and on about any industries in any geographies, but potentially you can have a new players that, sure enough, is listening to your customer, maybe using some of those network, and it's gonna be agile, it's gonna react to a change in demand, a change in trend, and potentially you're gonna fall off your pedestal overnight and become tomorrow's out of business company. So that's the idea there. It's, you know, you're probably hopefully preaching to the choir that when you walk into a store, you're probably more informed than the seller on the product you're looking at, right? So that's the notion of working as a network. So the question is, you know, how do we take this into the enterprise? Now, before we talk about roadmap, there's a couple of key components that you should look at that make enterprise social and enterprise social. And the first one is around what we call people. So you got a set of individuals, humans like us, that participate in conversation, get our job done day in, day out. We've got personal connections within an enterprise. We've got a single profile and, you know, an identity in that network. Each people, typically, to get work done, we collaborate with this notion of groups. Whether a group is a project, whether it's a physical team, a business unit, whether it's a group organized around a specific customer that we serve, we get work done typically in that notion of a confine of a group. And then last but not least, people and group, you know, we get work done day in, day out on projects or as individual contributors, that accrues to a network. And over time, the value of the network will grow exponentially as all the nodes start participating in the network, whether it's people, whether it's things we do day in, day out, whether it's in email, in Exchange, in SharePoint, across the stack of products we use in the enterprise. At the end of the day, the amount of information potentially in the network can be very hard for you as an individual to decipher. And that's where, you know, when you do get that network effect, that's where you start seeing potentially opportunities for things like the office graph that we talked in the keynote. So with that, again, since not everyone raised their hand when I asked how many of you use Yammer, what I'm going to do first is I'm going to show you Yammer today, and you'll see why this is important and why some of those concepts, you know, we took from Yammer and then took that across the office stack. Okay, so first demonstration, again, I give you kind of a Yammer 101. I apologize for those of you that are already using Yammer, and this is more targeted at all the others. So what you're looking at is this notion of an external network. Now think of an external network, it's a community just for us for this event, not just to engage during this event, but potentially after the event if you still have questions for us as speakers or question among one another. Now this is what we call an external network, meaning we can invite folks that are outside of our Active Directory. If I was in my Microsoft network, obviously only Microsoft employees, only folks with @.microsoft.com will be allowed in that main Microsoft network. And external network is something we use quite a bit for instance, for external networks or to engage with our MVPs or to engage with a key customer feedback forum. Now, in this homepage, first thing I want to highlight is at the center here, you get this notion of a news feed. Now, the first question typically I get from folks is, can I control how much information do I see in the news feed? And by default here, I get the all options selected. And yes, you can absolutely narrow it down to things that matter to you. So as soon as I click on following, you're going to see that that news feed, I'm going to get less noise or less information. And the idea of following is basically all the information from folks that I do follow, groups that I'm a member of, or documents or topic that I'm tracking. So suddenly you narrow it down. And if you really want to narrow it down, you know, there's not a lot of traffic in that external network, but I can pick top, where in this case, instead of just being sorted in chronological order, things are sorted in the how strong the signal and how relevant that information is. For instance, if someone posts something and a lot of people like that message, it'll tend to be at the top of my newsfeed. On the left-hand side, I got a set of groups. And like you would expect, typically that's where you get work done. Now, in the context of the Exchange conference, already the track corners, there's a group for each tracks. And for instance, we did create a group for Enterprise Social Yammer on the Office Graph, Gemini. And you can see there's discussions. We asked you, we did a little demand generation for you to come to our session. And we also asked for feedback on our session if you had any particular questions you wanted us to cover or answer during the session. You can also see on the right-hand side that we got a set of members that are part of this group. And that's what you see here. And here's Jeff. And then the last thing I want to show is, by default, similar to what you've seen on the keynote, and I'll talk about groups, creating a group in Yammer is open by default. And again, the idea is potentially why you might not be part of that group over time. Maybe there's going to be a nugget or an answer that you were looking for, an expert that's participating in that group that might be the person that's going to bring the answer at that moment in time for whatever deliverable, whatever thing you're working on. So again, the idea is all that IP you're capturing, all those discussions, all those documents accrues to the value of the network, hence the open by default. But like we mentioned, yes, you can definitely have private groups, and you can even have hush-hush groups, meaning it's not even listed, you can't even search, and obviously to be a member of, you need to be invited and approved by the administrator. So just to be clear, yes, you can use groups for very sensitive information, and to be transparent, for instance, us, Microsoft, when we were working on the Yammer acquisition, we actually used an external network with private groups because we had to collaborate with our lawyers that weren't part of Microsoft, but we had to collaborate on the ad side. So that's the notion of groups. One quick thing I forgot to mention is on the notion of, again, people, interesting thing that makes an enterprise social network special is, again, I've got a strong identity around each individual. I'm not going to pick on anyone in particular, so I'll just pick on myself. But you can see here, if I pick on anyone's profile in that network, I can see all their activities, assuming it's something open and not private. I can see all the things they're doing. I can see all the group they belong to. And I can see also how connected are they in the network versus peers or folks that are following them. So that's something fairly unique to Enterprise Social. The other thing you can see is, looks like there's some activities happening here in this network. So there's first a notion of an inbox, and hopefully I'm not going to teach you what the inbox is, especially in an Exchange crowd. And then there's this notion of notification, where notification typically means all different sort of things. Like, for instance, I did post a picture of this session outside. As soon as someone liked it, because I started that conversation, I'm going to get notified. So it's not just likes. If someone replies to something I posted, so if you reply with a question you have about Enterprise Social, I will be notified. So again, I can see that in my notification icon right here.
What about being able to follow people and groups, Christoph? Can you talk a little bit about that as well?
Sure. So for instance here, if I pick just on Zax, if Zax is someone, I don't know if Zax is in the room, I found his comment interesting or his background interesting, I can just very easily with one click follow that person. And it's the same thing with groups. I can discover groups across my organization and I can follow groups. Now, one thing I want to call to your attention is on the right-hand side, we start to see what we call the enterprise graph, how it plays in this particular network. So two things I want to, let me zoom in just to make sure you see this. So automatically, based on the little activity I've got in this external network, and based on the interactions I've added with the network, whether I posted things about Yammer or Enterprise Social, the network starts to make recommendations, either people I should be following, so it looks like I should be following Ali and Darren, and more importantly, it's suggesting groups, barbecue in Austin, on MEC sponsors on exhibitors. The barbecue in Austin, I think I know why it's suggesting it, because last night we did try a barbecue place.
We did, yeah.
And it probably, based on that keyword, started recommending that I should be following this particular group.
So basically, with these recommendations, you're able to follow other interesting, useful information that you otherwise might have missed. So it's actually now looking at the collaborative wisdom of the whole graph, enterprise graph you have there, and is actually making you, in a proactive way, these recommendations. That's very powerful.
Correct. It's constantly learning on our patterns, and not just our patterns, but what everyone's doing, and then it's trying to make the connection for us. So just to summarize again, I'll show you the high level. You know, you got people in Yammer, you got an identity, you participate in conversations, you get work done in groups. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter saying there's a lot of very little activity. It's probably because you're not getting work done per se in that network this week. But trust me, if you're looking at a very vibrant network, you'll see a lot more activities in groups versus this particular event group. And last but not least, I've shown you some of the concepts that we already have here in Yammer, this notion of the enterprise graph, where it's learning what we're doing, and based on that, it's trying to connect the dots for things that we wouldn't have known otherwise.
Yeah, so let me ask you another question, Christoph. When is the best time to use which tool? I know there's a lot of tools out there. Can we talk a little bit about that, some of those scenarios?
Gee, I already have a slide on this. Let's go to the slide. And again, this is a very common question we get, especially when we get customers coming and visiting us on campus, which is, hey, we got an email, we got link, where you're talking about Yammer, we got SharePoint, which tool when? And this graphic is by no means the only source of truth, but it's one representation of which tool when. On the horizontal axis, you've got the audience size. Is it one-on-one? Is it a team communications? Or is it all company? And then on the vertical axis, you get the urgency. So for instance, if I'm in operations, I'm probably using IM voice and video day in, day out, because if a server is down or there's something done with a network, let's say I'm in IT, I don't have the patience to wait for someone's reply. I need an answer right away. I need to call down the food chain, or whoever's on call, whoever's that on-call engineer to get that problem solved. So you can see, again, there's different tools depending on the needs based on those two axes. And you'll see later what we're doing, especially around the middle axis, that notion of a team where, you know, we're collaborating around a common goal to get something out of the door. Is it a product, a project, a customer, a sales opportunity? It doesn't matter. And you're going to see that today there's plenty of tools and how we're tackling this to make this a lot easier and close the seams across those different tools to get work done. Good. So that was the high level of working at the network and why it's important. And we give you a glimpse of Yammer. Let's switch gear now and talk about the future and all the things that we're currently working on as we speak. So basically, you'll see there's three sections in this particular chapter of the presentation. First, we're going to talk about inline social. Then we're going to talk about groups. And then last but not least, we're going to talk about the office graph. For each of those, there's going to be an introduction slide to talk about what we're trying to achieve, and then we'll be doing a demonstration for each. So let's get started. Inline social. So the idea here is very simple, is we think social, enterprise social to be very precise, should not be a destination. What do we mean by that is I might be here at MEC, but maybe my day job is to be an exchange administrator, or maybe I've got a role in IT, and I probably, maybe on a regular basis, I need to provide some reports to my management. Maybe I need to provide key learnings or takeaways from the Microsoft Exchange conference. Maybe I need to produce a budget. And the idea is I'm probably working, when I'm doing those tasks, in a set of office documents. I'm not saying that's the only place you do work, but there's probably a good chance you're working on a presentation, you're working on a spreadsheet if you're working on a budget, and maybe you're drafting a migration to the cloud, let's say, using a Word document. And the idea, while producing a beautiful deliverable that will impress your management, that will nail whatever you're trying to achieve, is extremely important. What's as equally as important is the discussions and the conversation to go about that deliverable. For instance, when Jem and I collaborated for this presentation, we definitely started with a PowerPoint deck using the beautiful MEC template. But then we started having discussion. When should we put this slide? What would be the talking point for this slide, et cetera, et cetera. So here, suddenly, you get that persistent conversation side by side with the deliverable you're trying to achieve. You shouldn't go somewhere else to get the feedback on that deliverable you're trying to produce. Another example is actually what you can see on the right. It's a little hard to see, but let's pretend this time I'm in sales. Let's pretend I'm in part of the call center at your organization, and I'm probably using a tool to manage that sales pipeline. Let's say I'm the head of sales for Austin, and I'm probably looking, like you can see here, a funnel of sales. And my job, besides managing a set of sellers for my product or services, my job is to make sure the opportunities go from 10% to 80% to go to being close 100% on one. Now, to do that, I'm using that tool of choice, probably a CRM tool. At one point in time, I might need to reach outside of my sellers to take an opportunity from 80% to 100%. Let's say I'm in a compete situation. So I might need help from, let's say, the engineering team. Help me win against this competitor. Give me the rundown of why our product and services is a clear differentiator for this particular opportunity. Maybe I need to reach out to marketing. You know, give me a beautiful presentation of this upcoming thing we're going to launch so, again, I can pitch that to my potential customer and win this opportunity. And the idea, again, is I shouldn't have to go somewhere else to tap that network of all the folks that make up my company. In this case, it should be in context. So what you're looking at is actually our Microsoft Dynamics CRM sales automation tool. And on the right-hand side, a little hard to see, I can tap to my network using Yammer as the conversation layer. So that's the first thing about inline social. I'll talk about groups, and then I'll do the two demos back-to-back. The next concept that you've heard about in the keynote is this notion of groups. And again, think of what I was telling you in the introduction of this notion of working as a network. Is today in the enterprise, we have big apps or apps used for communications and are still pretty siloed in the enterprise. We get email, we get portals, aka SharePoint, some of you have Yammer, et cetera, et cetera. Wouldn't it be nice to unify all those applications so that, you know, if someone who's socially inclined, let's say Jem, his home page is Yammer, and he's conversing in a group, whatever that group is doing, and let's say Christoph prefers Outlook web app, wouldn't it be nice that potentially we see exact same conversation, we're not missing a beat, even though our affinity might be different starting point, in my case, and Yammer is Jim's case. So the idea of the group, again, is we're unifying individuals across all those workloads. The other beauty, especially for all the IT pros in the room, all the admins, is yes, a group is an Active Directory object. So yes, we get stored that in AD, and you don't have to worry about managing who gets in to use that SharePoint site, who gets in to post to that distribution list, and who's a member of this Yammer group. We're going to be doing that for you, and we'll be giving you a pointer to a session that will give you a little more color about how we are doing all the architecture for groups tomorrow. So that's the notion of groups. Enough talking. Let's jump into a demo. Okay, so the first demo is I'll show you a glimpse of this inline social experiences that I was alluding to earlier. And then the second part of the demo will be showing you another demo of groups, similar but a little more color of what you've seen in a keynote demoed by Steve Chu. So the first thing about inline social is that I want to stress is here you're looking at one of our demo tenant. By the way, it's pre-release code, so hopefully everything will work, but it's definitely not in production yet. And what you're looking at here, the big new thing is you've got the Office 365 suite nav, and I can go from, let's say, one workload to another depending on what I need to do during the day. But underneath here, you're looking at Yammer. You might say, Christoph, what's the big deal? The big deal here is, again, we want to make it seamless. So the end users, it doesn't look like it's opening a different window, different look and feel. I should be able to seamless go about my day, whatever I need to look at a document, post a conversation, or see what's going on in my network. The other thing I want to stress, especially for you guys, since you tend to be a technical audience, the reason this is a big deal, and by the way, this is coming in the summer, is because this is going to close the gap between 365 on Yammer. We're going to have a bi-directional trust relationship between those two services. So we're going to have a single identity across those services. Why is this important? because from there on, we're going to be working on a single user profile. Remember I was telling you that one of the key tenets of a network is a person, and ideally, a person should have the same profile across all the workloads. Whatever Jim's past work experiences or Jim's experience at Microsoft, of all the skills he has, whether I look at his profile from, let's say, OAuth, or look at his profile from let's say, Link or SharePoint, it should be the same person. And I should be able to decide how much detail I have, and I shouldn't see different information from in one service from the other. So that's one of the things we're going to be working on post that integration. The other thing that I want to plug in that people have been asking us a lot is once we've reached that milestone, this is also when we're going to start working on deeper Link web experiences integration with Yammer. Again, we think it's the best of both worlds. And yes, we should bring Link presence, I and voice on video, into Yammer as well. So the next thing I want to show you about Enterprise Social, and you can see here now I'm just going to switch to OneDrive, is again helping you get work done by bringing conversation to whatever deliverable you're working on. So for instance, here I'm in my OneDrive for Business, and again I'm showing you the web browser experiences, and yes, I got an offline experience on my favorite tablet, on my phone, whatever it is that I have. And here I'm just going to pick actually the slide that we're collaborating on for this session today. And you're going to see on the left that deck rendered by PowerPoint Online from one of our data center. And it looks like it's taking a couple minutes. It is a 32 meg deck. And on the right-hand side, you've got conversation. So again, think of the value here. Yes, it's important to produce a beautiful deliverable, in this case a presentation. But again, I got a trace, whether it's open or private, I can decide of all those conversations how we went about producing this deliverable. And like you would expect...
Yeah. And actually, this is very useful, Christoph. While we were working on this deck, going back and forth, trying to ask each other questions, figure out how should we adjust this deck, we also needed to pull in some other people as well into the discussion. And instead of switching different experiences, switching contexts, we could bring those people right within the discussion, get their feedback in real time, right within this view. And it was a lot of a time saving for us. It saved a lot of clicks, a lot of time, a lot of switching between different experiences, and that's why I think this is going to be very, very useful.
And again, like you would expect, but the beauty here is you can have multiple conversations. So you can have a very private conversation, let's say with one of your peer or in a private network, and let's say we reach a stage where this is the final deck and maybe we want to announce it to a broader network, then we can do that. And that's what you can see here. I can pull Steve and say, and maybe post to either the old company or a different group and make an announcement. And like you would expect, if you're done with this and you want to really focus on the deliverable, you can collapse that and really focus on the deliverable you're trying to produce.
But Christoph, is this inline social only for office documents, or do we also plan to support other content types as well?
Yes, there is more. So this actually works with any documents you can put in a document library. And you can see here I've got different documents. Now, for the sake of time, I'll show you one. In this case, a picture. So think, let's say I'm a graphic designer, or I'm in marketing, I'm producing a logo or a mock-up or something for my engineering team. And what you're looking at here, I had the pleasure of shaking President Clinton's hand backstage at SharePoint conference. So I got a picture on the left, and yes, I can brag on the right using conversation.
But I think that's a card box cutout, Christoph.
You think?
Yeah.
You think. I do have the picture on my phone. Anyway, you get the idea that potentially you can augment that deliverable you're working on by bringing conversation, by tapping into the network your company has. So that concludes the first part of the demo, which is inline social experiences. Let me dive into the next one, which is groups. So again, I'll start again like Steve did in Yammer. And like Steve mentioned this morning, it's extremely important that basically the notion of groups is some of the success that we've learned from Yammer by being open and this notion that it's very easy to get started, engaging, and get work done. We took that and expanded that to the rest of the office. So what you're looking at here, if I pick a particular group, and let me make sure I get the right group. So pick the marketing forum. So I got a groups open by default, and I'll get back, yes, it can be private. And you got Steve here posted a deck. And there's a set of conversation and feedback happening in that group. And on the right-hand side, we get different members in that group. So that's the Yammer view. If I switch to OAuth, Outlook web app, So here, I'm not going to go in the inbox. That is the beautiful clutter that was demoed this morning. But if I draw your attention on the bottom left corner here, here's all the groups I belong to. And yes, I can pin that group to the top with an easy right click. And you can see here in that marketing group, it's the same conversation we had in Yammer. So again, the idea is, if my affinity or I'm not ready to make the Yammer jump, I'm not going to miss a beat by just being a member of this group. We're going to see the same conversation, the same discussion. My user interface will be Outlook Web App, and Jen's user interface is going to be Yammer. So we're going to, that's the thing we're working on, is we're synchronizing all those messages across those two, across Yammer and Exchange.
And the great thing about this is in real time. So if I post a question here, a comment here, you'll be able to see right away. And it's not about a choice either, Christoph, because I might actually be using both throughout the day based on which tool I'm using. And now I don't have to chase and follow these conversations. Instead, these conversations really start to follow me wherever I am. And I think that's where this becomes very useful.
Correct. And you know, I'm not going to redo the demo that Steve did. You know, if I open a document, yes, you know, where this is stored in SharePoint, I'll get back to that. And yes, we could be co-authoring a document real time thanks to the Office web app. So again, helping you, we're really helping you in this context of, let's say, that Northwind Energy proposal to close the seams. I don't have to save something in my hard drive, put my initial or V2, make the change, upload it, there it's in context, and there's only one version of the truth. So the other thing that actually gets me particularly excited that Steve gave you a glimpse is this notion of calendaring. And obviously, we know what tools is best for calendaring. Hopefully, I don't know about you, but my day typically is driven by this number of calendar items I've got on my agenda. And the idea here is you see my calendar in blue, and you can see I've got different groups, and I can start overlaying those different calendar items. I didn't put many requests for the others. But in green is that marketing form. And automatically, with one simple click, I can grab this item that's a team calendar item, and I can add that to my calendar. So the idea is I got no more excuses to miss this particular team meeting that happens at 1 p.m. on a weekly basis. You can see it took a couple seconds, but now it's in blue, it's in my calendar. So the idea now is whether I get an iPhone, an Android, a Windows phone, where I'm using Outlook Rich Client, I will have that item in my agenda day in, day out. This also gets me excited because that's also one thing that Yammer was lacking, this notion of calendaring. So again, think the value it brings in the context of a project where now, you know, if we get key milestones, deliverables, everyone will be aware of those as part of that rhythm. Now, like you would expect, there's a third leg to this tool. And if I go to details, look at that group, I want to take you to the SharePoint group site. So I've right-clicked on that group. And you see I got a set of properties. And I'm going to directly to that site.
So let me ask you this, Christoph. When I create a group in Exchange or Yammer or vice versa, we will automatically create the other groups in these other apps as well?
Correct. When we deliver this, the idea is it doesn't matter what the starting point is. Are you creating a group from OWA? Are you creating a group from SharePoint? Or are you creating a group from Yammer? Remember, I gave you a hint. All three starting point, a group object is going to be created in Active Directory. You're going to specify the membership, and then we're going to add that to the other two workloads.
So it's the same permissions, it's the same memberships, there is no management nightmare trying to manage them in different apps, it's all connected to a single identity.
Correct. And like we mentioned earlier, yes, the group by default it's open, but yes, it could be made private, and yes, we could be, like we say, secret if it's really something confidential and you want to re-limit the discovery by your peers. Now, just to close on the group, first thing is, like you would expect, I also get that inline social experiences in the documents that I've got in this group library. So again, that same thing I experience as an individual to produce a document or show work on a picture, I get that experience as well here. So again, it's the same conversation in this case, target for this particular group, for this particular deliverable we're working in.
Yeah, and this is so much better than trying to send attachments back and forth with email because it's very common that you get stuck with an old version of the attachment. You don't know if you have the latest and the greatest version. And here you always have versioning turned on and you're always able to preview the document and see exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah, the other thing I want to add as well is I get a lot of questions. Christoph, you know, what's the difference between having a conversation on the right-hand side powered by Yammer versus doing via IM using link or email? And typically the answer is things are persisted in that group. So if you got a new person joining that group, I got the trace of all those conversation, all that consensus on what did we decide on that 10% budget cut or raise for next year's? What did we decide to pitch this particular point on this slide, et cetera, et cetera. So I got a trace and I can easily ramp up on how did we go about making that decision. Now to close the loop on the groups, like you would expect, I'm going to show you the membership. So this is, you get all the goodness that SharePoint offers to store documents with hopefully one version of the truth so you don't have to worry about different versions of documents flying around. And it looks like it's a little slow. I'll try one more time. But basically, I wanted to close the loop and show you that it's the same members we start with in Yammer have been replicated across all the workloads. Okay, that, to wrap up, it looks like it's a little slow. But just to recap what I've shown you how we're working on delivering inline social experiences. One thing I forgot to mention, so that document conversation, the ETA for that is Spring. That's Suite now with Yammer, that's summer. And then groups is for the second part of 2014.
That's great. So we don't have to wait 3 more years each time to get these new capabilities. That's great. So as Christoph had mentioned, the fact that inline social as well as groups are very particularly important because it really takes the conversations as an abstraction out of the apps themselves, and information starts to flow much more freely. And we're actually trying to apply this concept across all of Office 365.
I was actually talking to Ishiva before our session, and he mentioned that in Office 365, there is these silos of apps, and they're really not that well connected to each other. Information really doesn't flow very well between these different apps. And that's exactly the scenario we're trying to accomplish here with this new concept called Office Graph. And what we're trying to do with Office Graph is actually we're analyzing, we're looking at all of the content that you work with, whether these documents are stored in OneDrive, stored in different team sites and different groups, as well as the people that you interact with the most, whether these are people that you're working on across different Wii teams, whether it's your own team, as well as the different types of conversations you might have. And as you might have seen, Christoph showed, we actually now provide options. Some people use email, some people use Yammer. Now they could talk to each other in a much more effective way. And what we're doing with Office Graph is we're consuming all of these content as well as all of the user interactions and behavior, which we like to call signals. By then analyzing these content and signals with machine learning principles, we start to map relationships between you and other people and other content and topics that really matter the most for you, such as based on what you might be working on, such as the people that you interact with the most, such as the different groups that you collaborate and documents you might be co-authoring. And once we start to analyze these across these different apps, we start to learn more about you as a user. We start to learn about what you really care about. What are the most important topics? And it gets more interesting than that, because once we start to map this across the whole network, across your organization, we start to get this network effect. Then we are able to understand better what other people around you are working on. And this allows us to provide you much more intelligent experiences that are more proactive. You saw some examples today at the keynote, such as the clutter feature, which was analyzing your email and figuring out which emails that you don't really care about. You will see other experiences built on the Office Graph as well. We will start to bring the intelligence of the graph into existing experiences as well as new experiences we will build, which you did see a little glimpse in the keynote. So let's switch over to my environment, Christoph. And I'd like to talk about this new app that's also built on Office Graph called Codename Oslo. And what Oslo does is it brings me highly relevant and useful content across my network in my view in a very efficient, in a very visually engaging way. So right off the bat, you'll see that here's the session deck that we have been working with Christoph. You'll see that there's a lot of activity happening around here. And it's actually real time. It looks like Belinda, our visual designer, has done an update almost a minute ago. So as you can see, Office Graph knew that this is something that's happening right now. This is something that's important for me and was quickly able to bring that right in my view without me having to go and look around for this information. Now, another great thing about this view is we actually present content in the form of these very engaging content cards. And the reason why we use content cards are because they're really small bite sizes of information. They allow us to provide the preview of the document, so you could see what this document is really about, the title, the abstract, as well as additional insights about that document. Right here, you'll see the MEC conference blog post. There's a lot of likes that are happening. There's a lot of conversations. And the reason why I'm seeing this blog post is, well, I was kind of involved with this as Steve was working on this post. But today, I was very busy working in the backstage at the keynote, getting ready for this session. And I really didn't have a time to catch up on this post. And Office Graph quickly provided that in my view. So instead of me looking around for this information actually came to me based on my context, based on my background on this piece of content. So it becomes very, very powerful. The great thing about this is I could also interact with content here. I could like this document, which will get updated on Yammer. And if I want to, I could click on a content card, and it will automatically open that document in Office Online. As you've seen, also snap to the left. I could snap that out. And the great thing, as Christoph mentioned, every single document now in Office Online will have inline social. So I could start discussing right about this document here, ask questions, bringing in other people, and all of these signals will eventually go back to Office Graph, and it becomes like this living organism that really understands what I really care about and what is really important for me. So let me go back to Oslo.
Rishi, can I ask you a question, Jim?
Yes, please.
How are we dealing with privacy on some of those documents?
That's great. So actually, Office Graph and Oslo does not change permissions whatsoever. It makes the content that you already have access to in a very efficient way in your view. Actually, we even provide additional settings. For instance, if I right-click on this card, I might want to know who else can see this content. So I could click this Who Can See This tab right on the bottom. And this will automatically open up Office 365. In this case, it didn't, but let's try again. It will automatically open up the content card, and it will tell me who could actually see this document. So it didn't work this time, but I'll show you again later. Now, the great thing about Oslo is it provides me a natural way to navigate around my world. So with one click on the search box, I can quickly see other predefined boards for me. I could even search for any content I have access to. But in this case, I'll go to Present It To Me. And in Present It To Me, now I'm able to see all of the content that was presented to me in different meetings. And the great thing about this view is you might be in a meeting, somebody might have presented something to you, and after the meeting, what you usually do is you send them an email saying, hey, that was a great meeting, can you send me that deck? And you wait around for a few hours or a few days, you get that in your attachment, and a week later, you're stuck with an old version. You don't know if there's a newer or greater version out there. But now with Office Graph, because Office Graph has access to my calendar, it knows which meeting I was part of, and it knows that this document was presented to me through Link, and it's something that I have access through OneDrive, it automatically connects the dots for me and presents that content right in my view. So instead of me looking around for this information, I could quickly navigate to this document and always get the latest and the greatest version. And that's the power of the network effect.
Now, again, the sorting, is it chronological?
No, actually, there's more intelligence behind it. I might have been presented a ton of stuff, Christoph, and I will see based on the machine learning what has the latest updates. For instance, I might be presented something that is also being presented to a lot of other people right at that time, and it will automatically change the ordering for me based on what's really happening around me.
So if something got modified since the last presentation, it might be
absolutely, it will bubble up right away. Another great view is shared with me. And in Office 365, there's actually numerous ways of sharing information. Now, you could share in OneDrive with one click. A common way is to share it in Yammer. But as we all know, the most common way is people actually send each other attachments, and we know what kind of pain that causes. You already saw in the keynote, we're actually investing in this new concept, modern attachments. Instead of you sending an attachment in an email, it will give you the option to upload that to OneDrive and send the link. So no matter which method you share in the future, we really want to make it very easy for you to navigate to that content with just one click. Now, as you can imagine, Christoph, just like you, I might have been shared a ton of content. And the great thing about Oslo and the great thing about the graph is it really allows me to do natural language search queries. So I could actually start typing in shared with me on inline social or shared with me on Contoso. So I could really start to drill down and go to exactly the documents that I need. Now I'll switch my view again. This time I'll go to modified by me.
This is another great view. As you can imagine, I'm working across many different teams, working across many different groups. Some of these groups have their own SharePoint sites. Some of these files are stored on my OneDrive. They could be all around. And it's very hard for me to remember exactly where everything is. Half the time, I don't even know where this content is. But now with Office Graph, I really don't have to remember because it actually starts to remember it for me. So instead of me trying to remember those long SharePoint URLs or searching in my inbox for attachment or whatever, it actually brings that content in a very, very natural way.
I don't need to memorize all those good and URL.
No. I know your memory is good, but not that good, Christoph. So another great view is trending around me. Now this gives me additional situational awareness. I might be working across many different groups, many different teams, and usually what happens is when you're working across many different teams, it's always a struggle in trying to get the latest information. You often find yourself clicking around, looking around, or asking your colleagues for the latest information. And when you do get the latest information, you sometimes struggle with information overload. So now with Office Graph, because it knows the topics that I care about, the people that I have relationships with, and the documents that I work with, it will automatically surface me the most relevant information that I otherwise might have missed. And the common scenario here is, instead of you looking around for this information, with machine learning, we could make it a little more easier so for that information can really start to come to you. And that's one of the key scenarios that we're really aiming for here.
Now, over time, do you see more views, more boards like that to slice and dice the data?
Absolutely. So this is all populated with machine learning, but we will also provide ability in the future to be able to pin stuff. So if it's a specific document that you're interested, if you want to create a board that's really important for you and aggregate, yes, around the topic with different hashtags or being able to share that with others, those will definitely be part of our roadmap as well. Now, here's a good one. I actually see a content card for Journey to the Cloud. And this is not an Office document, actually. This is a video. And when I click on this, it will automatically take me to the video portal. So this is the new Office 365 video portal, which we also announced at SharePoint conference a few weeks ago. This video will actually start streaming from Windows Azure Media Services. I won't play the video here. On the right side, you have inline social, so I could actually start to have live conversations about this video without having to change context or change experience. It just feels very natural. And on the bottom, though, it becomes more interesting. I'm able to see now recommendations of other video content that might be interesting for me. So for the folks who actually use Netflix, you might have seen this. You watch a video, and Netflix makes recommendations for you. And with Office Graph, now we not only analyze your insights, but we also look at insights across your organization and can start to make you more collaborative wisdom type of recommendations. So it's a really great way for you to discover that content. One question we get a lot, though, is, well, how do we make sure that there are certain things that are public signals and there are certain things that are private signals? And I'll actually switch over to Ozzo here. And there is a slide here. Let me search for the Office Graph. Here it is. Let me switch over. So you'll notice within the Office Graph, some of these signals, such as share with me, such as your email exchange, is a private signal. So that's between you and that person you send the email with. And we don't actually use that as part of the insights. But let's say you have a conversation or you might have liked something in an open public Yammer group. So that is a public signal that we'll use as part of our insights. So we are definitely very careful about not changing permissions, but also being careful about which signals we use as part of this machine learning. And that's definitely one of our goals there. Now, the great thing about this, as I mentioned, in a very natural way, I could search for all content that I have access to. And I'll show you an example. When you're searching for something, what do you usually do today? You might actually come search right within here. You might search for it in your OneDrive. You might go to your inbox and try to search for that content there. If you can't find it, you might go to the different sites. And if you're following a lot of sites, there's a lot of stuff out there. Or you might even go to Yammer. So when you're trying to find something, today you have to switch around nonstop these different experiences. But Office Graph already connected all of those dots. It already consumed content and signals from Exchange, SharePoint, and Yammer. And it's a very easy way for me to navigate
to that content. So I could search for anything I have access to. I could even search for people. So I start typing in Bill's name, and automatically, out of all of the Bills in the company, it actually knows which Bill I interact with the most with and provides that right in here. It also gives me some pivots around Bill, such as trending around Bill, such as modified by Bill. So these are different pivots around the graph. If you imagine this graph as a three-dimensional object, now I'm able to see different angles around that object. And of course, people is a first-class object, as you mentioned earlier, as part of the network. And when I click on Bill's profile, I'm quickly taken to his profile view. On the right side, you'll see I'm able to see his org chart. This is coming from Active Directory. On the left side, you'll see some additional insights, such as the people that Bill is working with these days, and the people that him and I work in common. So these are actually all coming from these public signals as well. And it really gives me additional insights about Bill. And when I start to scroll down, I start to notice other documents that are trending around Bill that I also have access to. So this gives me additional insights. For instance, Bill might be working on a specific topic, and he might have the latest deck or the latest document. I could quickly navigate to Bill's profile and navigate to that specific document that I'm looking for. And it becomes very, very powerful, especially when you're trying to find the subject matter expertise.
I got a question for you. This is a beautiful Windows 8 app, obviously not ready for prime time yet, but how about a web experiences or mobile experience?
Absolutely. So we will, for GA, which will be towards the end of 2014, we will look to have a full integration in the Office 365 suite now. So there will be a web version. The beautiful thing about these content cards are they're perfect for mobile responsive designs. So if you tilt your tablet or if it's a small size screen, they actually auto-adjust. So we will definitely look to have a very responsive web version of this as well. Now, another question we get a lot is, well, this is great, Jem, but my company is not just using Office 365. There is so much line of business systems we use. There's so much on-prem stuff out there. How can I leverage this as part of that? And we have actually been working on that, too, as part of our roadmap. And here's a slide that talks about Office Graph extensibility. So I won't spend time here about the different schema and the different signals we have, but I'd like to point out that, as you mentioned earlier, Christoph, the value of the network is much more if it has more connections. And just like you, our stuff is not just in Office 365. We have a ton of stuff in line of business, external content sources, external services we use, and we will definitely make sure to provide APIs for our developers and our partner ecosystem so they could start pushing in both content as well as, if you remember, signals are very important, the behavior is very important, as well as signals into the graph. And then with machine learning, this graph will become much more richer, and you'll be able to provide that content, whether it's inside of Oslo, as different content sources, or you could even start to use the APIs of the Office Graph to build your own sophisticated, intelligent experiences on top of all of the different content that might be scattered across Exchange, SharePoint, and Yammer.
So again, I can push data in. Someone was asking on Yammer about, let's say, a ticketing center or an opportunity,
yep,
and I'd be able to build third-party by querying the graph.
Absolutely. Yeah. So they could either show in Oslo, or you could build your own something on your own. Actually, I was talking to one of our Exchange partners yesterday, and one of the scenarios they're looking for is they want to create a meeting prep card. So let's say you have a meeting tomorrow with a few people that you don't know very well on a topic that you're not very well aware of. So that card will actually pull in information from your calendar, the different topics that you might be discussing in groups, as well as the latest documents about that meeting, and provide you a meeting prep card so you could go to that meeting better prepared. And those are some of the types of proactive things you could start to do once you start connecting the dots across these different silos of applications that you already have. So it's going to be very interesting once we're able to expose those APIs to our partner and developer community. So saying that, I'll hand it over to Christoph, and we'll take it from there. I know there's going to be a lot of questions, so please continue asking your questions on the Yammer network. And at the end of our session, we're going to do an open mic question, so we'll try to answer as much as we can.
And by the way, there's also you'll see plenty of slides. We're not going to go over the slides. I'll skip a few here that explain some of the notion that Jen talked about. And you'll see more slides about the graph in the appendix as well. So we talk about extensibility. So again, it's almost there at the finish line. So let's talk about the notion of the journey. And again, the idea is, while the technology is extremely important, and you've seen some of those investments we're doing to close those seams across those application silos to really help companies get that network effect that we mentioned. But at the end of the day, the bulk of to be successful with enterprise social requires some change management. Things like working in the open, you know, you might say on day one, maybe I'm not used to. Maybe I've got a private distribution list or a private team site to share specifications on some of the things my engineering team is doing. So again, it is a journey, and you've got to really take that into account or into consideration to be successful. Now, we do have, to help you on that journey and to help you with that cultural change, we actually have quite a bit of IP and assets to help you get started. You know, based on the 400,000 organizations that are using Yammer today, for instance, this is kind of like the high-level recipe for success and the four things you need to take into account to go about doing this. And the first thing is this notion of clarity of purpose. And what we mean by that is you don't just wake up and say, I'm just going to roll out enterprise social for the sake of doing it because I'd golf with my best IT friend and he say I should be doing that. Or you don't just say, I'm going to roll out enterprise social because I want to reduce email. That's not a clear purpose or a clear goal at your organization. Instead, you should say, maybe I want to reduce employee onboarding. Let's say you're the head of HR, human resources. Maybe this is the head of sales, and you say, maybe I want to increase the pipeline so I can close more sales. Or if you're in R&D, maybe you want to increase or shorten the time it takes from ideation to a product in market. Those are the business cases where enterprise social can really help you achieve success and get value out. The second thing is executive support and participation. Again, while you can definitely have some grassroots adoption, you get this notion of viral adoptions with enterprise social. At the end of the day, to really be successful and to make sure it's not just a couple team, let's say the sales team or the marketing team or the, let's say the corporate comms team, but everyone at the organization that adopts that with both feet, it needs to come from the top down. Some of the most successful customers, especially for instance in retail, it came from the CEO. Some of those organizations, they got 150,000, 300,000 employees, companies like Kroger, Tesco in the UK or Coles in Australia, those are retailers. The majority of their workers, they don't even have emails. But in those industries, the value is if you're going through a transformation, because again, there's tremendous competing force out there with things like online retail, things like Amazon, how do you stay relevant so that people still go to your brick and mortar store? When you're going through those massive transformation, you need to make sure everyone's rallying to your cause. And another example I gave, especially around retail, but same thing in the food industry or manufacturing, is a lot of your knowledge actually are not in folks in front of a PC. A lot of those folks are on assembly lines. If you're in retail, you know, folks are working in the store. It doesn't matter if they're at the cashier, they're responsible for a store or now. But if they're out there getting work done, not in front of a PC, but serving those particular customers, or if you're in the food industry, you're a waiter and waitress and you're serving customers. And the idea in those industries is there's a lot of knowledge with those frontline workers. Again, those workers that typically we tend to think, oh, they're minimum wage, they're not information workers. And that's actually a myth. They have as much information as real customers as you do at headquarters. They might have even have more information because they know what's working and what's not working. And potentially, if we can only enable that frontline worker to provide feedback, regardless of how many layers of management you have, at the end of the day, it'll make you more agile. Is it an improvement in throughput by putting, I don't know, this product at the end of the cashier? Is it improving some safety standard on the manufacturing line? If you multiply that by how many products you ship on how many transactions you do, potentially it can have a real dollar value. And at the end of the day, that accrues to making you agile or making you stay competitive in whatever segment of the industry you're working on. The third thing is about effective community management. And again, the idea is you don't just throw social and expect it to take off. Well, again, for some of the populations in your organization, whether it's IT or call centers, it might be successful. At the end of the day, you've got to nurture and help people understand what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. How can you share? Working the open, et cetera, et cetera. So for large companies like us, for instance, at Microsoft, we do have a dedicated headcount of community managers. Some of the company, that headcount sits in IT. Some of them is part of marketing. Some part is corporate comms, it's sales. It doesn't matter, but you really need to put skin in the game and again, help people crawl, walk, run to really get the value and help people, again, get that network effect that you should be striving for. And last but not least, integration. Like I said again, there's a lot of, there was a recent press article from Nationwide, large insurance in the US,
And their first use case to go social was to bring efficiency out of their call center. And again, the idea there from an IT perspective, a call center or ticketing, typically we think it's a cost and pretty transient population. Not everyone likes to have a call center, but we all need it. So the idea is, how do we drive efficiency? How do we retain people enrolled longer? And how do we make sure they close tickets faster? So in that case of Nationwide, they were using a third party for that process for their call center. But again, they brought that notion of Yammer conversation at a call center. And initially, folks were using it to make personal connections, who wants to go riding on the weekend, who wants to go partying on Friday. And you might say, well, actually, that's not valuable. Actually, it is, because I'm making personal connection at work, and it might entice me to say, oh, I'm making friends, this is a nice environment to work with. Instead of just going in for 3 months and then switching employers or doing something else, I might stay longer in the role. But then the other benefit was, and that particular customer, guess what? I made the connections with Jim that he likes cars. Then when we're having fun racing cars, I also realized he told me he was working on a case. So guess what? That customer, as I get that customer on the phone, potentially I can tap Jim. How did you close that case? So again, I can go home earlier and do whatever I like after work. So that's a real case study, and you can read it. It's on SiteWall, and the headline is, they've saved $1.5 million annually by doing this. So again, the idea is they brought Yammer in that call center. They didn't say overnight, you go to Yammer. No, they brought it into that. They get a checkbox, it yielded benefits. And then in the case of Nationwide, then they say, okay, let's go broader. Let's bring that into our intranet. Let's help our sellers. Let's help our marketing. Let's help our corporate comms. So that's what we mean by integration. We also have a recipe for how to go about trying this, and that's what this animation shows. And basically, again, like I say, you need a vision. And the vision is not, hey, I want to decrease email, or I just want to do it because it sounds cool. You need a real business case with a real business unit, typically at the end of the day, to be successful. And then you got to have some metric. Are you increasing your sales pipeline? Are you reducing employee onboarding? Are you shipping products faster? And then you can say yes or no. You start executing, and then you start measuring that. Did that move the needle in those particular business case? Maybe yes, maybe not. Maybe it didn't work on the first day or the first try. So again, the idea is you should experiment. And then if it didn't work, try maybe with another business case, with another team, and so forth. And then, over time you iterate, you adapt, and over time, you're going to have more convert at your organizations. And over time, again, the goal is to strive for 100% adoptions within your organizations, regardless of the roles people have. So with that, let's go into the last stretch and let's talk about next steps.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Christoph. So as we mentioned early in the session, this is going to be a session where we spend quite a bit of time talking about the future concepts, some of the areas we're investing in. And for that, we couldn't dive deep into every single one of these areas. However, there's quite a bit of content there, actually. And we actually put this in the slide, so you could definitely catch up on each one of these areas. There's almost like a 75-minute session for each one of these things we talked about. So I highly encourage you guys to check that out if you want to learn more. There's quite a bit of blog posts as well. Definitely a good one to read is Work Like a Network blog post. That will give you an idea on why we're so excited about this transformation that is happening, and we're really investing in that. Saying that, what did we cover today? So we actually, Christoph started off by explaining that we are already connected as a network in our personal lives, but some of these components haven't really trickled in into the enterprise. And we're really investing in that, but as Christoph mentioned, it's not just about the technology, it's also about the culture that comes with that change. And of course, the technology helps. Some of the tools that we show today, such as inline social groups, as well as Office Graph and Oslo, really help you work better as a network. But as he mentioned, it's all about having an open mind and embracing this change as we go throughout this journey. Now, I know there were some questions around how can we get our hands on this, be early adopters, and test this out for ourselves. There's actually an Office 365 pre-release program. You could find out more at the expo hall. There is a booth for this, and the link for the pre-release program is here as well, so you could definitely follow up on. And your feedback is welcome. Saying that, I like to open for questions. We'll try to answer questions that we actually have been answering throughout the session on Yammer, as well as I think the microphones are on. Any questions are welcome. So please feel free to take advantage of that. And thank you all for coming.
And have a great week at Mac.
So when, actually, I'll pick a question from Scott.
There's actually one question right there. Looks like it.
Let's take live question first.
Yeah.
So how is Oslo running in hybrid mode?
So we are looking to provide the APIs to be able to push in content and signals, as I mentioned earlier. So that content can be on-prem. It could be a separate line of business running in the cloud. It doesn't really matter, but with those APIs, you'll be able to feed that content and feed those signals into the Office Graph that runs in Office 365, and you'll be able to surface that on-prem content within those different experiences you saw.
But just to add to that, I'd be very clear. We're talking about the Office Graph. Oslo is just the engine is the Office Graph, cloud only, in 365. Oslo is the client consuming the graph. We showed you at Windows 8. Like we say, we're going to put the signals everywhere. You get a search box. We'll have a web client. So the real question is, you know, Office Graph in Office 365 multi-tenant. And yes, you'll be able to feed in from on-premises or third-party app that you have. But it's really Office Graph.
That's going to be part of our API extensibility story. Yep.
So. Another question. How open is it to include other services like
Salesforce.com? So that's a great question. That will still be part of the APIs. You know, when you have an API to be able to push in content and signals, it doesn't matter where that content lives. It could be living in on-premises. It could be living in CRM. It could be living in Salesforce. It doesn't matter where it is. You'll have those APIs, and you'll be able to push that stuff into the Office Graph so you could react and be more proactive with that information. Now, we actually have some partners that are already looking into those scenarios, and I'll be more than happy to share that with you after the session.
But just to be clear on CRM, we're going to do, obviously, a good job with our stack. That means Microsoft Dynamics CRM. You know, is it opportunities, or like someone was asking you about tickets? But that's the first integration we're going to do. Now, is it a third-party CRM, a third-party ERP? Like Jem said, yes, we'll have API. But we're also working with the Dynamics team. Any other questions before we take questions that were asked on the network? So I'll just take one from Scott. I don't know if Scott's still around, but his question is, what happens when people leave the company? How is their contribution to the social experience maintained, displayed, etc.? So that's something that you have today in Yammer. So there's a couple things. When people leave the company, typically, you know, if you're a large organization today, you probably have Active Directory sync, so you don't have to manually, especially if you're a company our size, manually deactivate the person. And then what happens is that person is deactivated, but none of their conversation is deleted. So I still have that trace. You know, it shows a different status when I look at that person's profile, let's say in Yammer, but all that IP, all those conversations, all the contribution that an ex-colleague had is not lost. Now, if you really want to delete it, you can absolutely delete all the information, but typically most customers keep it because, again, there's still nuggets. Even though that person left for the company for whatever reason, there's still pieces to the puzzle that they contributed during that career at our company.
Any other questions that come to mind?
There's one coming right there.
So we're definitely looking at some meeting scenarios as well. And, you know, I gave one example where, like a meeting prep card. So a meeting is upcoming. You're pulling in that information, those signals related to that meeting. Absolutely.
And then, like, within the meeting itself as an option to start a meeting fully in a group or...
Oh, I see. Right within the meeting, while the meeting is happening? Oh, I see. That's an interesting scenario, actually. I haven't thought of that.
I don't think we're considering it initially. I think probably the first question, you know, if I repeat the question, is I create a meeting, do I want to create a group? Potentially, but, you know, look at the proliferation of groups. And maybe instead of creating yet another group, instead maybe you want to go in an existing, you know, maybe it is the recurring marketing best practice group. And instead of creating another group or fragment experience.
Not only that, a group could have multiple meetings.
But the idea is that a lot of us, I guess, office knowledge workers work around our meetings, like you were saying earlier, and be able to have that same experience.
Yeah.
And saying that, hey, I prepare for a meeting, I can see up the content that I put in on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at the high level, so we definitely care a lot about the link on Skype integration and making, there's a lot of rooms for improvement around meeting. The way we're going to go about from a development, instead of pretending to know everything where the market's going to go in 3 years, 2 years, we're going to start shipping things, similar to what Yammer does. We're going to start measuring, see what works, what doesn't work, and then we're going to start adding functionality. So our meeting, the first thing we're going to tackle, probably not out of the bat when we ship this, but we definitely care a lot about the link on Skype. And the other thing I wanted to add, something we forgot to mention is, again, we definitely think presence is a huge play today in the enterprise. And when Jim was showing you the card for Bill, you know, if Bill is someone I didn't know, I discover he's doing something valuable, I could, you see at the bottom here, I get messages, the little phone, a video, and email. So right there, in context, obviously Bill is not logged in, but if he was, it'd be green, yellow, or red, where this is the presence powered by Link. So automatically, I can reach out to Bill and connect the dot and reach out to me in that urgency mode because I don't have time to wait that I was talking about earlier. So Link on Skype are definitely going to be weaved in both the Oslo, the graph, as well as in groups. So it's going to be throughout.
So that's some, making similar to the suggestions that you saw in Yammer, where it was suggesting Christoph to follow other people and other groups, time sensitive, making suggestions to invite to that meeting. And that could be an interesting scenario as well. And like Christoph mentioned, perhaps not something that we thought of initially, but in the services world, we have so quick way of innovating and adding functionality. You might see us actually do A/B testing on that and see it out. Or one of our partners might actually build that out if we are able to expose those APIs for them. So that might be interesting to see. Yeah.
And then one question from Lawrence about the hooks. Like, the key takeaway is, we're showing you a glimpse of the future. We definitely have a lot of work to do, whether it's on the UI or fit and polish. And we definitely care about extensibility. Like Jim mentioned, we'll give you the hooks to feed in from your ticketing, from your Salesforce, whatever you got. And we'll also give you API to do the natural query languages.
And actually, one of the scenarios, one of the reasons why we are going to expose those APIs is exactly for that, for on-prem content. You know, whether it's on-prem SharePoint or on-prem Exchange, you might have content that's scattered around. We really want to be able to provide you an ability where you can unify and connect the dots. And we know for a fact that not everybody is fully in the cloud, and that's why hybrid is going to be a great stepping stone, where you might move some of your scenarios, workloads to the cloud, but you will still have a lot of stuff on-prem, and Office Graph with the hybrid extensibility will be able to connect across those two different endpoints. So that's definitely an area that you'll see more information from us as we get closer to general availability, which will be end of 2014. So definitely something very, very important for us. Awesome. Any other questions?
We do have, because we started late, we have a couple minutes. One more? Okay.
Two quick ones.
Sure.
First one, do you imagine this is going to be part of an existing subscription, or is this going to be added on?
So we're definitely working through that, but as you can imagine, Oslo, as you've seen it, relies on having Exchange, SharePoint, and Yammer, so I don't think it would be something separate. It would be part of having that suite. So definitely that's something that would be our goal. Yep.
Okay. And then in the Oslo application, with lots of pictures, does it add them in there if there's no picture content?
We actually try to celebrate the richness in the content. If a content has an image in it, we actually extract that. If it's a web page that's being discussed, we'll extract the image from the web page. But if it has no image, it will actually be blank. And one of the things we're looking for is through the extensibility, if you're trying to push your own content or your own line of business content in there, then maybe you'll be able to push your own image as well. So that's something that we will look into.
Here's one, for instance, with a CRM opportunity, or service request, actually.
Yeah.
So again, it might be the same blue box because of the ticket is a ticket, but at least there's a representation of visual that gives me not just the stuff you're doing in email or in documents in Link, but also if you're a call center, then I got hopefully as close to 100% of what you're doing. And at the end of the day, the value is, in addition to your great experience and
and your past experience before joining the company is like what you actually do day in, day out. And think of the value of that signals to make connections.
Awesome. Thank you, everybody. And if you have any other questions, you could always find us on Yammer. Thanks.
And we'll be around. Thank you very much.